All right, so let's talk about a time when we compared ourselves to somebody else and then learned something kind of surprising. You go first.
Well, I think, I don't know if I've talked about Lane on the podcast before. Lane is the woman who had just graduated from college that moved into the travel trailer in my parents' backyard when I was 16 years old. So I met Lane at a Bible study. I just fell in love with her. She needed a place to live, and my parents said yes. That's the short version of the story. And the rest is kind of history, because having Lane in my backyard literally changed my life. She discipled me, she poured into me, and she changed the course of my life. Jesus moved her into my literal backyard. He's so good. He is so good. But anyway, so Lane, one of the assumptions that I made as a 16-year-old, that is, if you're smart and you're pretty, and at that point, if you're godly, then you get the guy.
Ah. Right?
And she had this guy that she was super interested in that totally overlooked her. So she did not. She was pretty and godly and smart, and just, I just thought, the best woman I'd ever met in my life, and she did not get the guy. How about you?
That's not fair.
I know.
Life should be more fair. Well, mine actually has a kind of a fairness aspect to it as well. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in church, and Daniel and I were newlywed, and I was watching this couple in the front pew, and I just thought they had it all going on. They had these two adorable children. One was a little boy, and he was all dressed up in a little church outfit with shorts, and little girl was so adorable. And I was starting to have baby cravings, even though I was too young, and I was just, I totally idealized them. I thought how wonderful it must be to be that young mother with her two adorable kids. And then they were invited up to the pulpit, and they were introduced as the Chamberlains from Australia. And this is the couple who had lost their baby to a dingo. The movie Cry in the Dark was made based on this many years ago. And I remember just sitting there shell-shocked, because here, seconds ago, I had been envying and idealizing them with no idea of the tragedy they had been through. And it was one of those moments where I literally sat and thought to myself, maybe comparison's not such a good thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. I always think about what Renee Swope has said, which is, we compare our insides to other people's outsides. And it's so destructive.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Today, we're processing what we learned from our interview with Lynn Cowell, author of Make Your Move.
Okay, so the first thing I loved, and I always love about talking with Lynn, is her honesty. When she yes. said that she felt so worn out from feeling confident one day and then having to scrape herself off the floor the next day, I just busted up. I'm like, I know that feeling. Like,
yes,
literally, you're there with a
like
shovel.
Me.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, I loved how she talked about how we misunderstand the whole concept of a gift, the gifts that God has given us, that the gift is about the giver, not about us. And a lot of women, and I know you've experienced this too, when you start having conversations about what they're good at, I mean, if we ask them what they're bad at, what their weaknesses are, I mean, they could write books filled with this. They could talk forever. But as soon as you ask them what they're good at, in other words, what gifts God has given them, they like fall silent.
Yes. Oh, literally this weekend I was speaking, and one of the things I like to do is lead women through kind of a progression of one things that they want to take home. And uh-huh. So I was like, what's one thing that you know that God's given you that he delights in? And I could see nobody was writing. And I was like, and you are literally not allowed to leave that blank, because God don't make no junk.
You know, you. Like,
you're not allowed. But women are resistant. You know, one of the things that really helped me this last year was working on the personal manifesto for
Yay!
Our retrospect series. And that kind of helped me to think of, what I already have, and then where I want to go with that. Do you hear that from other people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one of the concerns I do hear from women, and I, you know, when those pens aren't moving after you've asked that question, you know, I wonder if part of the concern is that somehow thinking about what we're good at, what God delights in, is that somehow selfish? Is that, you know, too self-focused in some way, shape, or form? And, you know, for me, knowing what He's gifted me with the most, what I'm best at, dare I use the word best at? I don't mean better than everybody else, but I mean that this is the thing that I, of all the things I could be doing, this is the one that I'm best. It kind of keeps me in my lane. And it helps me know, to use the plate analogy, it helps me know what to put on my plate. Because otherwise, I'm trying to pile way too many different things, some of which I'm good at, some of which I can try hard at. But it keeps me focused and gives me confidence that comes from the right source. It's not confidence in myself. It's just confidence that comes from, well, this is how God created me. This is the gift He gave me. I'm doing what He's called me to do. Cool.
The personal manifesto has really helped. Another tool that has really helped me is Strength Finders 2.0. And both of us love that. And it is this idea of let's figure out what you're wired to do and do it. I think comparison, the main thing comparison has done is detour me over the years, because I start to get in her lane. I love what you said about knowing our strengths, knowing our gifts, recognizing where they came from, but knowing what they are keeps us in our lane. When I compare, I start to swerve into her lane. You know, like when you're driving, that whatever you're looking at is where your tires go, right?
Yeah.
And if you're looking at her, you're going to swerve into her lane. That leads to collisions.
Crash.
And yeah, that stuff. That
crash
stuff.
And burn. Well, and you know, you use the phrase how we're wired, but if we're comparing, then it's cross-wiring. You're like, it's almost as if you're unplugged, trying to unplug your wiring or add new wiring. And it's like, no, it's become so clarifying for me to know that there's just this tiny handful of things that I'm good at. And if I'm in a group situation, I do those things. And this is the hard part, of course, but I try to be quiet. The other thing that she said that just really, really hit home for me is that a confident woman doesn't crave other people's approval because she already has God's. And so my question is, how can we remember that in the moment? I mean, we know that. You and I can sit here and talk about it, and we're good because we're looking at each other and we're friends and there's no outside input right now. But I was going to say 24 hours from now, but, you know, maybe 24 minutes after we get off. How are we going to remember that? How can our listeners, how can we remember in the moment that we don't need other people's approval?
Well, it's funny because our listeners should know that not all of what we're doing is off the cuff, that you do give us some things to think about ahead of time. And so you gave me this question to think about ahead of time. And I thought, I really don't have any strategies that I currently implement. So just to be completely transparent, but it was a great question because it made me think about, I should be doing that. Let me think of some strategies to do in the future. So here we go, girls. Here are things that Amy and you and all of us could do in the future. But I thought one of them is to think about my triggers ahead of time. Like I know myself pretty well. So I know that there are certain situations that I'm going to walk into, particularly social situations, sometimes job related, like speaking situations, where I'm going to feel less than. I start to feel it ahead of time. I know it's going to happen. I thought I really need to identify those ahead and start training my thoughts and adjusting my thoughts ahead of time when I know that there's something coming that puts me in that position of feeling less than.
That is so smart. You know, what I'm slowly getting to the point of understanding is that after 20 or 30 years of being blindsided by the same thing, it's not being blindsided anymore.
Yes,
it's
yes,
just being exactly stupid. It's magical thinking. Oh, maybe that will never happen again, even though it always happens. And there's this great quote from Viktor Frankl. He says, between stimulus and response, there is a space. And in that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. And that's what you just described, is that rather than showing up at an event and being triggered, you're saying, no, you're going to stretch that space. You're going to create extra space so that you can choose, pre-decide, pre-choose that response so that you aren't blindsided again. Cool. What else?
One of the things that I started thinking about in the situation, I started thinking, what is my response in that situation where I feel less than? I have physical indicators. I get butterflies in my tummy, that anxious belly going on. But the other thing that I do is I slump, which is not that funny. But I was thinking about the TED Talk about our physical reactions to what's around us and doing what's counterintuitive. And when we're in a situation where we feel insecure, most of us, Amy Cuddy says, we get smaller. I certainly do. And the way I get smaller is I slump. I'll find myself slumped way over. Now, my posture is not particularly good at any given moment, but when I'm feeling insecure, it's like I'm trying to disappear into myself. So when I notice I'm doing that, when I notice the butterflies in my tummy, or I notice, oh, I need to throw my shoulders back, those are times to go, okay, my confidence is in Christ. How about you?
I was remembering, now you can correct me if I've got it wrong, because I'm just going by memory. It's one of your mentors, Mona, right?
Yes.
Who used to say, beloved, run to Jesus.
Absolutely. Don't you love that? Does it ring in your head now?
It absolutely does. I'm like, okay, so I'm seeking outside approval. Beloved, run to Jesus. Run to, I mean, that will preach and that will walk. And it's just such a beautiful, because for me as a recovering perfectionist, the temptation is to beat up myself. What are you doing? Stop it. You know better than that. Well, that's not exactly grace. I'm not even sure that's grit. That's self-abuse.
So that makes me want to slump more just hearing
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Exactly. So just that reminder that as we're sensing any of these things, we can hear that comforting, gentle reminder, beloved, run to Jesus. The other thing that Lynn said is that failure is part of learning. At that point, I wanted to just like...
Oh, did I say yuck?
I just wanted to stop the interview and say, what are you talking about? So how have you experienced failure recently? I want to hear about it.
Oh, golly. Well, we've talked about how difficult it is to be the parent of an adult.
Yeah.
Son or daughter.
Yeah.
So recently, you know, I was doing so much better. Oh gosh, I was doing so much better. But recently, our oldest son, Anson, has been having, it's not a major health issue, but it's sort of major in the grand scheme of things. And we're like, dude, go to the doctor, for heaven's sakes. What are you thinking? I mean, like, we kind of like, hello, this is what people do. Be an adult. I mean, we were not nice, Barry or I, either one. And we hung up and I immediately started hearing myself in my own ear.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Uh-oh.
Well, and suddenly he had to go.
Oops. Gotta go.
Sweet. He didn't just blow us out of the water. He's like, yeah, gotta go. So, anyway, we had to circle back around and apologize and say, you are a man. You are a smart man. We are sure you will make the right decision. Let us know how we can support you. So, yeah, major failure. But then, hey, it's growth to be able to go back and apologize and make it right. And I will have to say, it was a little strained there for just a short time in a phone conversation. So it was resolved by the end of the conversation. We really were pretty horrible, but yeah.
I'm only laughing because, you know, my turn is next, I'm sure. What I love is that you heard yourself after the call, and you know, that's actually how it works. We can't actually hear our tone of voice while we're talking. So I think, but really? Our brains shut, our ability to interpret tone of voice shuts down when we're talking. We can hear it in anybody else. So actually the fact that you heard it afterwards is a sign that you were open to the Holy Spirit, because I'm sure that's why it started coming back around in a way that you could actually hear it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. That made me feel better because, yeah, I think about how some of the ways I used to talk to my kids and I'm like, why didn't I hear myself? Because we can't.
Well, this is good to know, but also important to know.
Like, yes.
To be able to, yes, pre-decide how we're going to respond to things.
Yeah.
So I bet you haven't had any failures recently.
Oh, yeah, because I've actually arrived at perfection. Yes. It was actually really interesting, though, because I put together this little mini e-course. It's called Overcome Procrastination and Just Write. It's a little free e-course. And let's just put it this way. I may be a teacher, but doing an e-course with video and download and all that, it's work. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into a lot of details. And I was so proud of myself because I sat down, I did all the videos, and then I sat down to edit them and I discovered the video quality was low and the sound wasn't good. Like there were these cracks and pops and I was like, ah, I did all of them. I did 9 little videos and now I have to redo them all. And so I was really frustrated, you know, and the whole perfectionistic, fine, I quit. I'm not going to do it, you know, because I felt like I couldn't do anything with what I had. I either needed to completely redo it or just ditch it. And then it occurred to me, hang on a second. I need to redo them. No question. But what if I let some people see them and I just told them up front, these aren't great. The content is good. The concepts I shared were perfectly fine. What if I warn them ahead of time that it'll be a little rough going, but ask for their feedback? And so I started with a really small group that I knew was safe. And then I got really brave and I actually sent it out to my email list. I titled the email, "Do you want to see me make a mess and then clean it up?" And I wrote this whole email. And as I wrote it, I actually had so much fun because not only was the video bad and the sound, but my cat kept making cameo appearances without me seeing it.
I'll bet it was Rafiki.
It was Dusty this time.
Oh, really?
Yes. Little prima donna kept showing up. You'd see these little black ears in the background. It was crazy. And I thought, you know what? These people are adults that I'm emailing it to. And if they're not interested, because I told them, if they watch it now, I'm going to replace it with better videos. They can watch it again and maybe they can learn from my process. Maybe they can realize that there is value to this process of going from bad to better to, you know, to kind of good at something. Well, I put that out there. I had 45 people immediately sign up. They're going through it. I'm getting so much feedback on, and they're not telling me, hey, Sherry, the video is bad, because they know it. They're not complaining about the audio because they know that I know that it needs to be fixed. But what they're doing, there's several places where I need to make a few little tweaks that I wouldn't have caught on my own. Like there's a whole concept called the procrastination cycle, and about half of them, the way I explained it didn't work for them. It is so important that I found that out while it was still in the rough draft, messy stage. So what was a failure I was about to like throw away has now become this whole process of learning. And I'm like, I almost want to pat myself on the back, except
you
I didn't plan it.
You should. That's amazing. Like, you have been hanging out with Kathy Lipp.
I have. I absolutely have.
We love Kathy because she loves failure. But you turned what you perceived as a failure, pretty minor in the grand scheme of things, but you turned it into a tool. That is amazing. That's amazing. Now, one of the things that Lynn kind of ended with that I absolutely love is it's the so that of the book. Like, why do we want to walk in confidence? What difference does it make? Well, we want to do it so that, as Lynn says, we can be a difference maker. What are some of the ways that you're learning to be a difference maker in this world, Sherry Gregory?
This is a great question. And I was convicted this weekend while driving home from a writer's conference, and I was listening to a book called Barking Up the Wrong Tree, and it's basically about why everything you know about success is mostly wrong. I love those kinds of books, and it's filled with research and other things that make me geek out. But the point this person made is that those who are in the early stages of learning something need lots of encouragement, and a sign that you're moving from being a total novice or beginner to being more advanced is that you start seeking critique. You start literally asking other people, tell me what I did wrong. And it just really hit me that one of the ways I can be a difference maker is to be more sensitive to whether somebody is still in that very beginning stage where they need the encouragement, or whether they've moved, they've kind of crossed over that divide into the place where they're ready to hear more critique from me. I tend to get it opposite. Like, if I see that somebody's making all these newbie mistakes, the perfectionist in me panics and it's like, no. Here, let me help you fix it all up, which means I can crush somebody. And then if somebody's doing really, really well, I can tend to lay on the effusive praise. And what more than anything else I need to do is listen. In order to make the kind of difference people need me to make in their life, I need to listen. I need to ask where they're at. I need to be perceptive. I need to watch. And then I can do a better job of figuring out, do they need a lot of encouragement here, or are they asking me to literally tell them what they did wrong? How about you?
Oh, well, that's fantastic. And I'm thinking about, I really seriously, as you're talking about this, have 10 different applications for that in my life. So I appreciate that. One of the ways that God is calling me to be a difference maker is something he's been doing for a while in my life, but he is calling me into the messy.
Ew.
And I just,
your least favorite thing.
It is my least favorite thing. Oh my gracious. And if I could just tell you some of the messy that I'm in the midst of right now with some of my friends, and everything in me says, run, like run away. And God says, wait in. Just wade right into it with them. I can't make a difference in their life. This is one of the things that I'm learning. And I think that's why I've avoided messy in the past, because I wanted to fix so much. And there are just some things you cannot fix. Only God can do it. Yeah. And so, but God does, it doesn't matter that you can't fix it. I just want you to be there. Hmm. The ministry of presence, and do what you can, pray, but be there. I'm trying to be a difference maker by wading into the messy and not running away from it.
And that'll make a difference in you.
It will. It's already changing me. And some of it, like I had a conversation last night with a woman that's in a really, really bad place. And truthfully, there are some aspects of it that make me a little impatient. I'm like, girlfriend, you created that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a mercy person. Like any of our listeners, don't tell me, well, anyway, I'm not a mercy person. But on the other hand, I was able to do a little bit of what you were talking about, as I thought, she's got a big old mess on her hands, but she's not going to be able to fix all of it tomorrow. Just encourage her, Amy. Mm. Just encourage her to take one little step. And I was afraid even that was too much, but Barry was listening to me. And when I hung up, he goes, wow, you are so compassionate. Well, compassionate is hard for a not mercy person. So that's growth right there.
You got the Barry stamp of approval right there.
I did. He's the more compassionate of the two of us. So, yes.
And his number one is empathy, right?
He's got empathy in his top five. Yeah.
In his top five. Okay. All right. So what's the scripture that you've paired with these episodes?
2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. Mm. And, you know, competent and confident, I think they're related. Our confidence comes from being competent most of the times, but that competence then we have to recognize comes from God himself.
Sure. So what is the bad rule for these episodes?
Well, I think it's kind of circles back to the beginning. The bad rule is the confidence is pride.
Mm.
But the truth is that we're called to be confident and competent, .. in Christ. And that's the difference. Because our culture talks about self-confidence all the time.
Yeah.
And I think it's Lisa Whittle talks about that. Self-confidence has... It's measurable, it's limited, but when we tap in to confidence in Christ, that's limitless.
So what's the grit in all of this for you?
You know, it really takes grit for me to seek God about who I am and to stand in it, rather than to compare and to look for to other people for the standards I should live by. Just to let God alone set those standards for me and also tell me it's the grit is still getting rid of comparison. Still, hopefully I'm leveling up.
Well, and you know, the grace for me ties right in with that. And that is, I find myself saying, I'm 50, I should know this by now, or I'm 50, I should have figured this out, I shouldn't have to work this hard, I shouldn't need this reminder. And it appears that as long as we're on this planet, we're going to keep needing to relearn certain lessons. I'm the one being hard on myself. Condemnation is the voice of the enemy, not the voice of God, and that God is never the one saying that I'm more trouble than I'm worth. And he's the one who demonstrated on the cross that I'm worth everything to him. And so competence, confidence, grace, all of that goes together as we keep learning and relearning even these lessons as we move forward.
To our very last breath.
Head on over to gritandgracegirls.com/episode106.
There you'll find this week's transcript, our Digging Deeper download, the Bible verse art, and a chance to win a giveaway of Make Your Move.
Come join our Facebook page and group, where we'll continue this discussion of comparison and confidence. Just search on Facebook for Grit and Grace Girls, and you'll find us.
Join us next week when we'll be talking to Sharon Hoddy Miller, author of Free of Me.
For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and break it.